This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I think they played very well. Once more, the quantity of football we produce is amazing. What we do when we have possession of the ball, the way we play, the way we create, yeah, the story repeats. This is the same story of Stoke, of Everton, of every match we lost. We never lost a match because we didn't play. We never lost a match because the opponent was stronger than us. We lost every match because we produce, we don't kill opponents, we give them life, and every opponent that plays against us, they know that they can score a goal and change the true of the results. We had the ball, we play sometimes very, very well. We had fantastic chances to score, we don't score. So it's always the same story, the story repeats.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Yep. Good evening. You just heard Jose Mourinho there defending his team yet again, although he went round and round the bush. After the Capital One Cup exit at the hands of Sunderland, I'm Jeff Sandu, and let me introduce to you the guests. Say hello to Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Craig Marias.
Hi, guys.
And Sid Utney.
Hello.
Remember, you can get in touch with us. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You could follow us on Facebook. It's Football on BFM. So let's start with the Sunderland win against Chelsea. They progressed to the semi-final of the Capital One after a thrilling extra-time victory over Chelsea. This is, again, Chelsea not capitalising on all the chances that they had. Can't score goals.
No. I'm not going to say this is the start of the Chelsea wobble.
but it's that time of year, isn't it?
If they lose to Arsenal, I think there will be questions asked. It's not quite going according to plan, is it, for Jose Mourinho? We touched on this last week. You know, it's not he hasn't got the brief that he had when he first came. That was a broad sweep. He got all the money in the world. He had to build the club up, richest owner in the world, and he just went for it. And he got inherited a group of players who were coming into their peak, like Terry, Lampard, Cech. People like that. Now he's got to rebuild a side, and he hasn't got all that money, and some of the players are past it, frankly, and he's got to decide, you know, who he gets rid of, how much he's got to spend in the winter, and you know, he's sort of caught between two stools. I feel.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, I think Chelsea only have themselves to blame. I think Mourinho touched upon this just now when we heard it, and he said we don't kill enough teams off, and even at the back they're really sloppy. And what do you expect when your best striker goes on loan to Everton? And
that's true.
I mean, it's a fact. I mean, I think everyone at the start of the season could see, even in pre-season, you could see who your best striker was, unless he went for a big striker. And I'm not talking about Eto'o or anyone. I'm talking about a big world class striker, a big name. Then he could justify that move.
Fernando Torres has scored only six goals this season.
Well, how many have they got in the league between them? I think they've got one each. Is it? Am I correct? Eto'o, Torres, one each.
One each.
Something ridiculous like that. And how are you going to win games when your strikers don't score? I mean, you're heavily reliant on your midfielders, the likes of Hazard, Oscar, Mata, Lampard. You know, and there's only so much they can do as midfielders.
Yep. Well, I think you know, their attacking wise they're not bad, but just, you know, if they were to fix their defensive problems, then, you know, they would win more games and they won't lose to teams like Everton and Sunderland. Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing they need to strengthen at the moment. Where I thought before the season started, Jose Mourinho would have actually fixed, but he sticked with the back four he had last season. Yeah. So, you know, I think
we look at that and you can see that. The likes of Terry, I mean, I still think Terry's a good player, but you look alongside him, and maybe he's passed it a bit, but you look alongside him, does he have quality next to him? I mean, I'm not so sure he does. David Luiz, he's always good for a mistake in a match. Gary Cahill, I think he's playing like at a team where he shouldn't be playing. I think he's a decent player, but he's not he doesn't deserve to be at a world-class club.
Enough about Chelsea. What about Sunderland? Were they good?
Yeah.
Is this the turning point for them?
Credit has to be given to Gus Poyet and Sunderland. I think since Gus Poyet has taken charge, I really do think Sunderland have looked solid.
Yeah. There's a new life in them, actually.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I mean, just more organised. I mean, you watch them play. There's There's something about them. I mean, they look hard to break down. I mean, they've got players that want to play. And he's brought the likes of Lee Catmull back, Phil Bardsley. And these players have actually, I mean, they wear their heart on their sleeves and play, you know. And that's what I think a little bit was taken out of it when Di Canio was there.
Well,
as well
team,
as the ketchup.
Yeah, any team is going to be more organised after Paolo Di Canio.
It could,
just like to say that it could give Sunderland a real boost in the relegation battle. Yeah, I know they've got two more games to play at least now, but you know, winning is a habit, and it's been proven, hasn't it, down the years.
And it breeds confidence.
Yep, it boosts you. You know, a cup run, FA Cup or League Cup run.
And the matter that they did it as well with a last-minute goal and then went to injury time and then snatched it from there.
Yeah.
That
so
should boost the confidence up.
We're getting massive confidence going into this weekend. Massive.
For sure.
Yeah.
We'll go into our first break. Taking us there is Gus Poyet, delighted with the win and hoping that this will be Sunderland's turning point of the rest of the season. BFM 89.9.
I hope so. That was the idea. That what we want to maintain the consistency of... you know, players playing together and playing the same way and believing in what we do. And at the end, it's up to the players. You know, the players have been fantastic. They didn't stop attacking and trying to create the chance. Maybe too close to the end, but sometimes even easier because you don't have, you don't give the opposition the time to recover. But I think the players, they gave everything today. Let's hope we can recover.
Glad I'm through. I thought you were going to ask me about the game before you asked me about the draw, because we had to win the game before we get into the next round, but thankful we did, and you know, we'll have a tough semi-final against Sunderland now.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Tank Friday. It's football. I'm Jeff Sandhu, and with me is Bob Holmes, Craig Moraes, and Said Atni. You just heard David Moyes, glad to be through the Capital One Cup after their 2-0 win at Stoke. So let's talk about Manchester United's win. Two stunning strikes from Ashley Young and a rare Patrice Evra right-footed shot.
Yeah. Unique.
It's the first.
You'll never see that again.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think many of us didn't think he had a right foot until the weekend. But it was a crazy match, wasn't it? With the hail and everything.
And all,
The game getting suspended, the players going under the substitutes bench to get away from it before Clattenburg decides, okay, we're going to suspend this match. It was an eventful match. It was a bit of a dull first half, if you ask me. Only excitement being that the game was suspended and the hail.
If Tony Pulis had been manager, you would have suspected him of arranging for that, wouldn't you?
But it was good. I think it was good for United to get the win. It was important that they got the win. Surprisingly, they played a very strong squad. I didn't think Moyes would play that kind of squad.
You never see a strong squad with Man United in the Capital One.
But I was just speaking to Bob off air, and if you look at City's team, you look at Chelsea's team, I mean, a lot of them, it was a very strong lineups that were fielded. So maybe teams are, you know, going away from, you know, giving youngsters a chance and stuff like that, and taking it a little bit more seriously. Mm. Albeit, like, the eventual winners most likely won't need that European place.
Well, I think Man United are going to want to win the cup because, you know, I don't think...
Be quiet over there. Yeah, be quiet over there.
but is this a good thing, playing, you know, the big names for cups like this, the Capital One?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, it got pilloried, didn't it, a few years ago. It was almost a Mickey Mouse competition. But I think the last two or three years, teams have taken it more seriously. I mean, when you've got Arsene Wenger, for example, I mean, no one would be able to say that they had this trophy drought had they won the League Cup.
Yeah.
And they came very, very close to doing so a couple of years ago. Same with David Moyes. I mean, he'd like to get a trophy. Okay, it's a tin pot trophy, but it's a trophy. Yeah. So, it's worth winning. And I think if it's United and City in the final, I think we'll know who is the hungrier team.
Yes.
Mm. Well, for Moyes, I think it's good to get the cobwebs out of the way. I mean, as soon as he gets that that first trophy, gets the monkey off his back, doesn't it? And I mean, there's less pressure instantly. You know, he can actually say, even though it's a League Cup, I got silverware my first year, and then he can build from that. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism about him and about the team over these last 4 months, three, four months. And it'll be good at the end of the season, turn around. Yeah, maybe they won't win the league, or they definitely won't win the league.
But, thank you, Craig.
But I'm just saying, like, if he has something to show for it, I mean, it's not... I mean, worse things have happened to United before, you know, and he can use that as something to build on.
Mm. Moving along to Manchester City, Edin Dzeko, he scored twice. Who needs Aguero?
Edin who? Is he still there? Yeah. No. They haven't shipped him off.
He's still scoring goals.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's the type of player, he's always been a goal scorer, you know, every time he plays, you know, he's I think he
feels sorry for him in a way.
Yeah, for sure, you know, because he still can play a big part in Manchester City's season, and you know, these are the times where you need a player like this to fill the void of Aguero going off injured. So, you know, definitely he's going to play an important part in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's a massive void to fill, isn't it? Aguero injured. I mean, he's been so crucial to Man City this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to give Negredo credit as well. I think he's coming in and adjusted fantastically to the English Premier League. Mm. But Aguero has been their main man without a shadow of a doubt. But to have the kind of quality on the bench for people like Dzeko to step in and just immediately start scoring goals. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't in a league match or anything about that. But, I mean, he said Dzeko is scoring goals. If he starts the next match, he'll be full of confidence.
Yeah, it was a pity that Stefan Jovetic, fell ill an hour before kickoff because he was set to play. And City only had 6 substitutes. So, yeah. Some people thought that Pellegrini had miscalculated.
Again.
yeah.
But this Jovetic is very unlucky. I mean, he was one of the top young players in Europe a couple of years ago. He was scoring for Fiorentina, very, very highly rated. Mm-hmm. They paid 20 million for him, and he's hardly had a kick for one reason or another. Mm. And potentially, I mean, he would be the guy to possibly come in for Aguero had he played a few games, but he hasn't, and I don't think you can expect him to.
Yeah, he's a fantastic player, and like you said, I've never seen someone so unlucky at the start of their careers at a new club. Mm. But when he has played, I mean, I think one or two games off as a sub at the start of the season, and he just looked off the pace. And I'm not sure whether it's down to the fact that he hadn't really had a proper preseason with City or what, but he didn't look the same kind of player. And maybe it does take time to settle in, especially when you're coming from the Serie A to the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope his luck continues, to be honest, as a United fan.
There's a stat here that says Manchester City have reached their third League Cup semi-final in the past 5 seasons, but they've not played in the final since 1976. So the hunger should be there.
It should be, but then it's Man City and, you know, they're a group of players. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think most of those players would just take it as another trophy. It's not a big deal if they lose the League Cup because, I mean, at the end of the season, they're challenging for the top ones, aren't they? I mean, they win the FA Cup final as well, and they lost out on that. Mm. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're fortunate. The two semi-finals are in the break for the Champions League, so there won't be any fixture clash there. But should they get to the final, they'll be playing that pretty close to one of the next matches, assuming they get through.
they got a tough task as well.
Well, actually, no. It'll be during the first round, won't it? The group of 16 games, because it's at the end of February.
Yeah, so they got a tough task.
So it might get in the way.
Yeah.
In the last game of the Capital One Cup, Spurs lost 2-1 to West Ham at home. 2 goals in the final 10 minutes saw West Ham beat the managerless Tottenham and book a place with Manchester City in the semi-final tie. Things are not looking good for Tottenham.
Yeah, everything's going downhill at the moment. You know, since I think the start was the Manchester City game where they lost. Was it 6-1?
Six nil.
Yeah. So it's just gone downhill. You know, they now need a new man to come in and bring life, like how Sunderland are. You know, but you know the quality of players they have, they should not be in the position they are at the moment. You know, spending 100 million. And before the season, you know, they have no excuse to be in the position where they are at the moment, and losing to West Ham at home again. So, you know, there's a lot of questions there about the players that are underperforming.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Sherwood came in for this match, and apparently he's going to be given the opportunity to impress Daniel Levy and possibly take over the job. Whether he's the right man, I don't think so. I mean, you need someone now. Where Spurs, I mean, if they've gone and made that decision to sack AVB, they can't give it to someone with no experience. You have to bring an experienced man into it, someone who can take them to the next level. Because I think AVB has been harshly treated here. You know, I'm a big fan of him. I don't think tactically he's great, but I mean, you're going on the back of the fact that he lost 2 matches and he got thrashed in them. No doubt about that, and it's not acceptable. But you've got to understand a lot of circumstances as well. His defensive line last week against Liverpool, I mean, he could barely field the defence. Mm. Yeah, he had Carl Norton playing at left back. he had a central midfielder playing in a centre back position, so that didn't help him much. And you look at the start of the season when Daniel Levy spent the 100 million. Okay, in that meeting between Levy and AVB, did he demand that they win the title in the first season? I don't think so. I don't think Spurs were expected to, but they were expected to qualify for the Champions League.
And which is still possible.
Which is definitely still possible. If you look at the league table, they're I think 2 or 3 points in front of Man United. They're not too far off the top four. So there's still a lot of football to be played. We're nearly halfway through the season. Mm. So, I mean, I think he's just bowed down to media pressure and fan pressure.
Mm. I think you've made a good pitch for the presidency of the AVB fan club.
Matt Bellotti will be proud.
I'll be fuming at me. He hates him.
I couldn't disagree more.
before you were saying that to him. Eh?
In the semi-final draw, Sunderland's reward for beating Chelsea in the quarterfinals of the Capital One Cup is a last four encounter with the four times winners Manchester United. That is going to be a very tasty tie. In the other semi-final, pits Manchester City against West Ham. And United, they last won this competition in the 09-10 and 2010 season. Winning it this season, maybe, you know, easing some pressure then.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it was significant when they won it then, because it was the first trophies that Rooney and Ronaldo had won. Yeah. So, when you get a trophy, I mean, you still go to Wembley. Yeah, I mean, you can disparage this competition all you like, but you still end up at Wembley. If you're a big club, there's a full house, there's a good atmosphere. In fact, there's a better atmosphere because the fans get more tickets for the League Cup final than they do for the FA Cup final. Less prawn sandwich eaters. it's a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it's worth winning. And soon, you see it, I think, when you get the quarterfinal stage, you do see better teams, fewer experimental selections. And, I think that hopefully it will be a Manchester derby.
And if it is, it'll
be a cracker.
Yeah, exactly. If it is, it'll be an absolutely a cracking match. And, you know, if it was like, say, for example, Sunderland versus West Ham, no disrespect to any team. But I mean, I don't think you'll get a lot of viewers for that one, would you? Mm-hmm. But I mean, now it's the Manchester derby. I think you'll get a lot of people around the world will be tuning in to watch the League Cup final. Mm.
In the other cup, there's a World Club Cup competition going on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, guys, what was that? You've said it all.
And it was an opportunity to see Ronaldinho play again. And surprisingly, it was the same case for Raja Casablanca's players, because they were enamored with his presence and they were just at awe. And they basically took his shoes after the game.
Yeah. it's actually ridiculous.
He was playing barefoot, was he?
No wonder they lost.
They lost 3-1 to Raja Casablanca, won 3-1 against Atletico Mineiro. Any thoughts on the World Club Cup? Is it any importance?
No.
I mean, the fact that we don't know about it.
No, exactly. This Raja Casablanca, they only qualified because they're representing the host nation. They didn't get there because they got through any qualifying competition. So it makes a mockery of it, really. I mean, they beat Auckland in the
big match,
semi, quarterfinal, whatever they call it. Yeah, big match. and now they're playing in the final. It's ridiculous. Bayern Munich.
Will be facing Bayern Munich for the final.
Bayern Munich third team, is it?
You'll have a lot of prawn sandwiches then.
Another trophy for Pep Guardiola.
Mm. Oh, he can win 4 trophies this season, then, right?
Well, he's won this before, hasn't he, with Barcelona?
Yes.
No, but if he goes, you remember they won the treble last season under, what's his name?
Jupp Heynckes.
Jupp Heynckes. And the only way to better it, everyone said he couldn't be bettered, but if he wins this, surely he wins 4 trophy.
But he has won 6 before in 1 year, Barcelona.
All right, we'll go to another break with Big Sam Aladerci, delighted with his team's performance.
It's a fantastic victory based on and even better than the first one for me. I know that 3-0 was brilliant up the daylight, but I mean, where we were today in terms of our squad available, about changing the team and putting the squad players into the side that haven't played quite as much as they would have liked, but I got a great opportunity, asking them to step up to the plate and show that, you know, we're going to give Tottenham a really good game today. And And really, that's all they've done. They've gone out and played the best, and they've tried their hardest, and in the end, it's paid dividends for them again. And tactically, we were right, and we were patient. We waited, and of course, I was obviously disappointed, not with the quality of their goal, but the fact that they scored from our corner. That was a bit disappointing, but the response from there on, again, was fantastic. And I think that as we went 1-0 down, we then became the better side from there till the finish, and ultimately got our just reward with a 2-1 win.
I find it astonishing what he's had to go through, and that's just looking from a distance. This is a guy, when he walked in to Cardiff, 10 players he had that summer, and he had to build a new team. They lost a manager who'd done very well in Dave Jones. But they brought in someone who totally transformed the culture and the mentality of the club. Took them to a Carling Cup final, to a playoff place, and just lost out. And the following season, took them to the Championship and a promotion, and became the second team from Wales to get into the Premier League. But he started this season, he's had great results. He's going to go on and become a big manager at a top club. And I find it astonishing that there's talk about him leaving there. Absolutely astonishing. Ian Moody, who was released from his duties there, I worked with Ian at Watford as well, one of the most authentic people you'll ever meet. And my only conclusion when I look from the outside is that you've got a business guy who's operating the club. He knows absolutely nothing about football.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You just heard Brendan Rodgers there, astonished at the treatment Malky McKay is getting from the Cardiff City boss. Before we talked about that, let me introduce to you the guests, Bob Holmes, Craig Moraes, and Syed Adni. Remember, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can follow us on Facebook. It's football on BFM. So let's start off with the first game on Saturday. It's Liverpool against Cardiff City. This is all about Suarez and Liverpool's home form, but recently the reports are coming out that Cardiff City's big boss is not happy with Malky McKay.
Well, it's interesting to see if he's going to be in the dugout when this match comes around. I mean, as of now, as we're doing the show, he's still in a job. Mm. But I agree with Brendan Rodgers there. I'm a massive Brendan Rodgers fan, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that he's come out in full support of Malky McKay, because Malky McKay has done absolutely nothing wrong to deserve this kind of treatment. For his job to even be in question, it's absolutely ridiculous. And we go back to the whole Ian Mooney situation, and this is where it all stemmed from. And all it happened was, like, even last week, I think it was in his post-match conference, and I think it was something like he hoped there was funds to sign players to strengthen the squad, which is perfectly fine. I mean, he's done nothing wrong
with it.
Yeah.
It's normal.
But then the following day, I can't remember who it was from Cardiff, someone in the hierarchy, comes out and says, or the manager, the owner isn't happy with your comments. And what? Really?
How can you not be happy to just to talk about improving your squad?
Yeah. You want to stay up, right?
Yeah.
Surely that should be the owner's ambition too, to stay up, and he'll do every single thing in his power to make that happen. Hmm. And yeah, okay, maybe there might not be funds there. That's fine. You just pull the manager to the side and say, look, there'll be no funds available to you. I'm sure Malky McKay will have to just deal with it. And he's good enough manager to keep them up, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm. What's going on here, Bob?
Yeah, well, very difficult to say here. I mean, it's in Vincent Tan's interest more than any other person, isn't it, that Cardiff stay up. I mean, I know if they go down, they get the parachute payment, but it would be a major blow. I mean, they want to consolidate and all that. So it does seem a bit strange on the face of it. I mean, there's an argument about the budget, that Malky has exceeded the budget. Well, unless Pellegrini is doing the sums, it does I won't say any more about that. It does seem odd that they can't agree on how much has been spent, and it seems to boil down to a misunderstanding over the wages, whether the wages, future wages, are included or not in this 35 million that was supposed to have been spent, and possible add-ons. I mean, they're complicated deals when you buy a player, and if he plays for England or something, you know, you've got to pay extra money and stuff like that. So it does seem to boil down to a misunderstanding over the additional amounts because the fees are very simple. We know who they bought and how much they cost, and it does add up to just over 30 million. If you add on the wages, yes, it does take it up quite a bit. So, but this should have been sorted out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first thing that should have been done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Whether this is all included or not, and I think it does boil down to the fact that, yes, you know, Vincent Tan is a very successful businessman, but he's not been in football very long.
Yeah.
I think there was an assumption that the wages are not included.
Yeah.
It's just transfer fees. But, I mean, Malky Mackay wasn't signing the checks,
yeah,
was he?
Exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say, surely as a football club, if you're a manager, you write down a list of players that you want. You hand it up to whoever. It's their job to go agree, try and agree a fee with the clubs, speak to the player. I mean, the manager hardly gets involved in the contractual negotiations.
It's all about managing club negotiations. Director and
yeah,
stuff
well,
like
now
that.
You've got like Ian Moody. I think that was his job, right? And I just don't understand where it's gone wrong. I mean, Malky Mackay can't be at fault for any of this, can he? Because I can't imagine he's the one that negotiates with the agent in terms of salaries, in terms of clubs. So
morale is going to be very down when they visit Liverpool. Will he still be there then? After the game.
Well, there's a press conference after the game. Today.
Before the game, we'll not know. Really.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's going to be there before.
There's a press conference today. We may know more later on. Mm. But I think Malky has been a victim of his own success, actually.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, when they went up, they weren't that great a side. They were the best team by far in the championship.
Yeah.
But it was
a
very poor championship.
Yeah.
The standard was low.
Yeah.
And they needed to buy players. Okay, they bought. But you're not going to get, you know, if you bought about 8 or 9 players in football, if you get 4 of them that are successes,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, you only look at Alex Ferguson. I mean, you start thinking about the Jemba Jembas and the Clebersons and the Bebbies and all that.
Craig's favourite players.
And, you know, even Fergie, you could argue that even he didn't get 50% of his signings right.
Mm.
But if you get the Cantonas, the Schmeichels, the Van Persies, you know, it more than makes up. And that's what football is about. So I think that there's a, you know, feeling Vincent Tan, you know, he thinks, so, well, we spent all this money on these players, 4 or 5 of them haven't worked.
Yeah.
That has to be said.
Yeah.
They've either been injured or they haven't played well. And the other thing is, because he's fighting a rear guard battle, he's playing defensive football.
Yeah.
He's especially away from home. So it doesn't look very attractive, and Vincent Dan has said they're not playing very attractive.
But they're not meant
They're
not meant to set the world alight, are they? With their football, they just went to stay up in the first. It's their first season in the Premier League.
Yep.
Stay up, you know, and don't keep yourself.
Sorry, guys. You know, we're talking about Liverpool. So if we can talk about Liverpool a bit,
A win for Liverpool then
guaranteed. Why not?
It's not a good time for Cardiff to play Liverpool away, and it'll be very interesting, especially with Suarez in the form that he is, and not only Suarez, the likes of Henderson, Coutinho's, and Raheem Sterling.
Well, I'll just say the whole team actually at the moment. You know, there's no way I can see Cardiff getting anything from this. With the way Liverpool are playing, and especially after 5-0.
And the way Henderson has been playing as well.
Yep. Henderson, Coutinho, you know, Lucas. You've got Sterling, who played an amazing game on last week. And the defence was very solid as well. But Spurs did not even get a shot on target.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how solid we are at the moment.
Well, I think it's more down to the fact that Spurs were poor as well. Don't forget
All right.
That. As good as Liverpool were.
All right, moving on to Manchester City. They are looking to improve their away form. They will travel to Fulham, who has only managed just 1 clean sheet in their 22 Barclays Premier League games against City. This should be a revival of City's away form in the BPL. They've been okay in the Champions League. They won against Bayern, of course, and also in the Capital One Cup. In the Premier League, the away form is still...
Yeah, it's very up and down. So, you know, this is where Manchester City, if they really have the ambitions to get back that league title, this is where they have to start winning the away games.
Without Aguero, though?
Well, I wouldn't say there would be much difference, you know. Maybe slightly a bit, you know. Aguero is very quick, he's very skillful. But, you know, you've got players coming in like Dzeko and... like we were talking about before, Jovetic. So if he's given the chance, you know, there's a big chance that he could just shine. You know, he could just step up and be the man of the moment.
Yeah, I think a squad the size that City have, they shouldn't have any trouble with a team like Fulham, should they? Rennie Meulensteen taking over there, be interesting to see what he does. I've heard conflicting stories about how good he was at United. Some people reckon he was the bee's knees, and other people reckon he was a bit of a joke. So we'll find out now when he's on his own at Fulham.
Mm-hmm. Sunday midnight, we'll see Everton will travel to Swansea, who might actually lose their manager, who's sort of in line with the Spurs.
Michael Laudrup's been linked with a lot of clubs, not only now, but obviously during the off-season. And he came out and admitted some big clubs were after him. Who they were, we obviously don't know. But yeah, he's a. I mean, you look at the way that Swansea play, and maybe they haven't done that well this season as last year. But they still play the same kind of football. They have their own identity, nice passing style, and I think clubs are envious of that because big clubs, especially when you look at that, and you look, wow, that's Swansea playing good football. Imagine if he was in charge of us. So he's going to get a lot of looks. I mean, it's not a bad shot for the Tottenham job. I must admit, it's going to be tempting.
But I think it would be a waste if he did move at the moment, because you know the Swansea are doing very well in the Europa League as well, and you know they could anytime just.
He's got a good project there, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a good project.
I think it should be long term with them.
However, on this game, it will be sort of a reunion for Roberto Martinez, as he started his managerial career as the boss of Swansea City, winning 50% of his 126 games that he was in charge.
Yeah, and he started playing football as well, passing or playing to feet and all that, and so that's his legacy really. And he managed to do it at Wigan. I mean, that's an unlikely place to. I mean, you think of kick and rush there, really, don't you? So the more you think about Martinez, the better he becomes, really, because he laid the foundations for this Swansea revival, didn't he?
And Everton have only lost fewer games than any other Premier League side this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, really fantastic the way Martinez has come into that team and imposed his own. Just look how they're playing now under David Moyes. They're very direct. Pump the ball up to Cahill and Fellaini, and we'll see whoever gambles on the flick on. Now all the football's played on the floor. I mean, you've got players like Barkley, he loves the ball at his feet. Gareth Barry's a great passer of the ball. And you've got the two flying wingers down the right. You've got Seamus Coleman coming from right back and scoring a couple of goals here and there. You've got Delafoye running, Morales. And up front, you've got the beast, which is Romelu Lukaku. So it's a team that, I mean, it's just a fantastic set of players. And they could do some big things this season.
That'll be a very good game.
They're going to miss Diallofo, though, aren't they?
Yeah. They're also a team that you wouldn't see, like, wouldn't have a lot of replacements. Now they have people who can just come in and fill the voids for other players, like Leighton Baines. You know, you've got Oviedo now, who's playing really well.
He stepped up.
In the other game, Manchester United have lost last nine league games against West Ham, winning winning eight in a row before drawing 2-2 at the bowling ground last season. So looking from the way Manchester United have been playing this season, this is a surely win for West Ham then.
Yes, definitely. I was just going to say, I mean, I think for Newcastle, it was 46 years since they won there. West Brom had hardly won there. So West Ham definitely favourites.
Going to break all the records.
The last time West Ham won there was Carlos Tevez playing.
The last day of the season.
Yeah, prior to that, Bobby Moore was playing.
United will be without RVP and possibly Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I think he had a groin strain. Missed the midweek match. I think United need him back if they got any chance of winning.
Yeah, it's going to be a big loss for them. You know,
massive. I mean, especially with RVP out as well. They need one or the other for me. And
but they do look good in the middle of the table.
Yeah, I thought. I thought Welbeck had a really good performance last week. And he scored a couple of goals, which was nice to see. So we talked about Danny Welbeck and his lack of goals, but it was good to see him playing in a central position up front,
where he can score goals,
and where he's played his whole career.
He's played out of position a lot.
A lot. If you look at over the years, the last couple of years, Ferguson's put him out on the left, you know, in behind the striker. I mean, he's a striker.
Credit to him, he's not made any noise about it.
Yeah, I mean, he just goes about his job. I mean, he's from Manchester, isn't he? He's a local boy. And it's been a dream to play for Man United.
Yeah,
so.
But also Welbeck, you know, he doesn't have that presence of someone who's going to make a complaint.
Well, he doesn't have that about
maybe
him
yet. Yeah. You know, he's not that big player to make at Manchester United to make a complaint like Wayne Rooney or whoever else.
Well, yeah, an ideal team man, isn't he, Welbeck? Well, I mean, yes, the much maligned sort of Manchester United midfield. I mean, they're better than what West Ham has got, aren't they?
Yeah.
you can't deny yeah. that.
Even with a 4-6-0 yeah. formation, <4-9>.
Well, it'd be nice to see your Ravel Morrison come and turn it on, yeah. wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Against his old club.
Ferguson watching from the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it.
No, you've got to go for a United win here.
Yeah, I think a home win here.
Mm. In the other game, Southampton will take on Tottenham Hotspur. Jay Rodriguez has scored Southampton's first goal in the three of their last four Barclays Premier League games. And this is going to be one of the deciding games for not only for Spurs, but for Southampton as well, because they've sort of been having a patchy run before this game.
I mean, we look at the start of the season, and I say this every season, there's always one team
in the first
few months. Mm-hmm. Well, which will rise to the to the top of the table. And I think last year was West Brom. So this year was Southampton. And I still think they're a very well-organised squad. I think they've got fantastic players.
They're very young as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good. And a lot of English players, which is good to see.
They have a lot of flair as well.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, like you've said, they've gone off the boil in recent weeks. But this will be a good game for them, I think, because it's a good time to play Spurs without a manager, playing at home. This could get their season back on track, because I still think they can compete for European place. I think they are that good. They can push teams for European place. So if they get 3 points here, you know, they're back in it.
They're the next Everton.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Yeah, a lot has been said about the manager, hasn't it? Pochettino. You know, he's the next big thing in management. He's done very well.
He's been linked with the Spurs job.
Well, yes, I was going to say.
Who hasn't been linked with the Spurs job?
David
Butler.
Spurs, yeah, I don't think Tim Sherwood is going to get it because he wasn't even sure that he was taking charge for this game until about 5 minutes ago.
When Craig mentioned it.
It hardly infuses confidence, does it? So I think they were trying to get somebody in. That's why they didn't say to Tim, you know, you've got two games. Only one at a time, sort of thing. So I think they were turned down by Ronnie De Boer and Gus Hiddink.
That's
the word on the street. Yeah, both.
But Gus Hiddink's already signed a contract to be the next Holland manager after the World Cup, hasn't he?
Yeah, so as a stopgap.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think they were just after a stopgap. Gus Hiddink doesn't do anything else.
Yeah,
stopgap.
Stopgap's an international.
That's the way to go, isn't it? You're never going to get sacked, are you?
He's got a good record, hasn't he?
Yeah.
On Saturday, Crystal Palace will take on Newcastle. 20 of Newcastle's 21 league goals this season have been scored by a Frenchman.
Yeah,
they haven't got anybody else.
Newcastle French?
Yeah.
It's a French team, right?
Yeah.
Europa League.
I always wonder why Deschamps is at every Newcastle game. It's like, they're all there.
Yeah, they're applying to play in La Ligue.
Le Ligue. Who's going to win this? Crystal Palace, Newcastle?
I actually fancy Crystal Palace for this. I've been quite impressed with what Pulis has to come. Actually, you go back to just before Pulis joined. I thought they were very well organised at the back. They look solid. They're tough to break down. And they've been in decent form. They haven't been playing that badly. I'm going for an upset here. I think Crystal Palace at home might just nick it.
Oh, it sounds like a big shout.
It is. That's my big shout for the week.
I'm
going
to disagree. I'm going to go with Newcastle.
We'll save Bob's big shout and say it as well.
Oh, I'll go for a draw.
What about this? Stoke against Aston Villa. Christian Benteke has now gone 11 hours and 59 minutes without scoring a BPL goal.
Yeah, I think this is a tough game. Yeah, you know, the both teams, you know, they're also not they're very inconsistent at the moment. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think it's going to be a draw. You know, I don't see Benteke scoring. Mm. You know?
Yeah, Mark Hughes, manager. Yeah, draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Villa win.
Right.
Away win, yeah.
All right. In West Brom against Hull, West Brom have had a league-high 5 shots cleared off the line this season, but they are without a manager.
Yeah. Unlucky, West Brom. Yeah. Well, Steve Clark particularly unlucky. Yeah, I mean, even
I think
in that last game.
It was undeserved as well to get a sack.
Yeah, they should have had a penalty, a blatant penalty in the dying minutes against Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they'd had that and scored... I mean, Steve Clark would probably still be in a job.
Yep.
But, you know, by such fine margins our careers decided. But he'll bounce back. He's everybody in the game knows Steve Clark's a good manager.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I look at that West Brom, I just can't understand it. I mean, I know I was very supportive of ABB, but I'm even more supportive of Steve Clarke.
Oh, like, wow, we want to hear this.
So I'm switching clubs now. I'm switching managers.
But no, what about ABB being linked to the West Brom job?
Let's just stick a stick with Steve Clarke. No, I thought, as Bob said, absolutely unlucky. You look at how well they played last season. I just go back to the summer and
Lukaku.
Yeah, Lukaku. He is the difference, because not much has changed with the way they're playing, the personnel on the field. It is just the fact that they can't score enough goals, and part of it is down.
And Elka's not one of the players.
Exactly. Okay. That might have been a poor signing on him, but I think it was just more of a. I mean, he wasn't meant to start 38 Premier League games, was he? But I think they needed to replace Lukaku during the transfer window. They failed to do that. And they also lost Odemwingie in the process. And it's just proved to be a nightmare for West Brom, because I think they should have given him until January. And I'm sure they would have dipped into the market, got a striker from somewhere. But that's all they were lacking, I think.
Pure panic move.
Yeah.
Shane Long's not a bad player, don't get me wrong. Mm. But you need someone that can guarantee you 18 goals a season, which Lukaku was doing, you know? Mm. Mm.
In the other game, Sunderland will play against Norwich City. After failing to score in his first 5 Premier League appearances, Gary Hooper has now scored 4 in his last 6. 4 goals in total for Norwich City.
And a screamer last week.
Exactly. Mm. Fantastic technique.
Shouts for this game?
This one, I think I would go with Sunderland.
Yeah.
Simply because they got their win in midweek.
Yeah. Mm. I have to go with Bob on that.
Yeah, I want to go for Sunderland and also go against Stanley, who has predicted them to go to be relegated. Yeah. So I'm gonna go for.
We both at the start of the season disagreed with him, didn't it? Yeah. But at the moment he's winning this. Yeah, we're at the halfway point. Yeah. Near enough.
I think they'll get out.
Yeah. I think Gaspoy will keep them up.
Who's gonna go down then?
Well, I'm gonna go for Crystal Palace. I don't know.
It's tough.
Oh, maybe Man United. I don't know.
You'd love that, wouldn't you? You'd love that, wouldn't you?
We will go to another break with Chris Hughton. Sad to see AVB leave.
As a manager, it's always sad to see another fellow manager going. And of course, certainly being part of the LMA, it's always sad to see. But it does happen, and as I said, we've had, I think, 5 managers gone in the last couple of weeks. That's the pressure that are on managers. That's the pressure that is in the game. Expectations rise sometimes unrealistically, and it's certainly one that managers, of course, have to deal with in the best way that they can. But as I said, it's always very sad to see another fellow manager go. And I think from their perspective, you just hope that as a club, that they get it right.
Hi, I'm Sean Darry. Thank Friday, it's football.
And we're back. I'm Jeff Sandu, and I'm with Bob Holmes, Craig Moraz, and Syed Atni. And before we go into the other games in the Championship and the other Europa leagues, let's check in with producer Andy on the fantasy update and treatment room.
In our fantasy league, we have a new leader, Yi Yang Lee. You are our new leader. You're L2YR, top of the table with 1,047 points. And just behind in second is Vincent Lau's 11 Wise Monkeys on 1,044 points. In third place is Senglip Kuz Liverpool. Iqmal Maldini's Mantap United is in fourth. And in fifth is Matthew Wong's Los Merengues. Our top pundit is Craig Marias, who dropped to ninth on the table, potentially because he went with Lukaku instead of Suarez as his captain. Our bottom pundit is Matt Bellotti, whose Real Sociedad team are in 239th place in the table. His captain, Frank Lampard, scored no points last weekend. Now, as you get ready to sort your teams for this week, here's an injury update from the treatment table. United face a test against Big Sam's West Ham with no Van Persie and probably no Wayne Rooney either, who's carrying a knock. Vidic and Fellaini should be okay, but the match will likely come too soon for Michael Carrick. Liverpool take on Cardiff with no new injuries, while Cardiff's only minor doubt is over Craig Bellamy, who could well make it back in time to face his former employers. Fulham meet Man City with the hope that Amorebieta will return, while City have Jovetic and Nastasic back in the mixer. Southampton will face off with struggling Spurs, though their injury list is still fairly extensive. Fox, Wanyama, Klein, Boric, Davis and Duprado are all out for the Saints. For Spurs, Andros Townsend has a hamstring injury, while Vertonghen and Cabal are still not in contention. Swansea face a tough challenge at home against Everton, with Flores expected to return as well as Leon Britton. Nathan Dyer could miss out though with a foot injury, and there could be an extended spell on the sidelines for Michel Vorm as he undergoes knee surgery. Everton travel with Gerard Deulofeu their only absentee. The Spaniard will be out until the end of January. Crystal Palace welcome Newcastle with the same lengthy injury list, including Thomas Coidiora, Hunt, McCarthy and Murray. In contrast, Newcastle's squad is at full strength, aside from Ryan Taylor. Sunderland and Norwich meet at the Stadium of Light with Poirier's men on a high from midweek, and they're looking strong. Jack Colback should return from illness to a more or less fully fit squad. Norwich City's injury list is still significant, though Mark Bunn, Robert Snodgrass and Ricky van Wolfswinkel should all return to the squad. Stoke have an issue in central defence with both Shawcross and Huth out. They play Villa, who are desperate for the return of Ron Vlaar, though this one should come too soon. West Brom will be buoyed by the returns of Anelka and Anichebe, while their opponents Hull are without Dudgeon, Quinn and long-term absentee Aluko. That's it for this round. Have a good week and stay healthy. Merry Christmas.
Continuing our look at the weekend's football, let's start with the Championship. Bob, I'm just going to pick two games since we're running out of time. Queen's Park Rangers against Leicester City. That will be live on Channel 811.
Yeah, that's
on Saturday.
That's the big game. It's arguably the game of the season so far. Mm-hmm. I think Leicester might get something here, actually. Yeah, I mean, they'll be able to put their disappointment in midweek behind them. I don't think that'll
I think it's QPR at home, right?
Yeah, it QPR is at home.
I fancy QPR at Loftus Road.
For sure.
I think they got a great home record. And Charlie Austin is still firing in goals. So
never beat anybody more than 1-0, though, do they?
3 points is all that matters.
In the other game that I'm going to pick out here, Birmingham City will play Nottingham Forest. Bob?
Oh, we've got to go for Forest here.
Shouldn't have asked you.
On what basis? I don't know.
It's a tough one, actually. Yeah, very, very tough match.
I don't know. Birmingham haven't been playing so well. You know, 15th in the league. You know, they were one of the teams expected to go back for promotion straight away. But, you know, everything went wrong.
Yeah.
I'll just pick one more here that looks very tasty. Burnley against Blackpool. Burnley are on second place and Blackpool is on ninth. Blackpool are slowly trying to pick up form again.
Yeah, they had a good start to the season, didn't they? Mm. And they were top for a while. Paul Ince in charge. And I think it was key that they kept Tom Ince. Yeah. And they managed to do that, but they haven't really progressed since. So it'll be interesting to see Burnley, obviously, in really, really good form. And well, it's interesting to see what happens. I think this one could be a draw.
The surprise team is Derby, and the surprise manager McLaren. Is Steve McLaren. We never thought he could do it, did we?
Yeah. I mean, when Nigel Clough left, I think they were languishing in the bottom, weren't they?
Yeah. But I always thought McLaren was a decent manager.
Of course.
You know, he's been out of the country and all that. You know, he did well with
Werder Bremen.
20 and
yeah, 20. Yeah. Yes.
Wolfsburg. Sorry, Wolfsburg was the other one.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about 20 more than the German teams. But you know, he's done really well.
Well, he did okay at 20. He won the league, and then he went to Germany, flopped there. He went back to
Forest. Flop there.
Then went back to Holland. Flop there. with the same team. Was England manager before? Flop there. Oh, I could go on all day here.
So you're not a fan of his?
Now we know. AVB for...
I'll just never forget Wally with the brolly.
You want AVB to be at every team.
We will move to the Bundesliga as Bayern Munich, they are taking a break from the domestic action to pursue more silverware overseas. Bayer Leverkusen, they'll be hoping to close the gap within 4 points if they can beat the Werder Bremen, which will be a very, very tough game. The other interesting tie is Borussia Dortmund against Hertha Berlin.
Yeah, for Bayern Munich, I don't think there's any tough game for them. in the Bundesliga, they're so strong. Every team or any team that they put out will be too strong for the opposition. Then, even when you looked at it and you thought, okay, maybe Dortmund are the ones that are going to be pushing them hard, they've fallen off the pace quite a bit. And I think this is going to be it's Bayern Munich to lose this title. I mean, they pretty much wrapped it up for me.
They certainly got the winter title, haven't they? They actually go by that, don't they? Yeah,
they celebrate it. They'll be on a break soon.
Yeah,
right?
They go for a month. Winter. They do,
but they're already in the club championship, though.
They'll just play that and then they're off for a month. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice position to be in, isn't it? World club champions, top of your own league.
Reigning European champions.
Winning
and they've got Arsenal in the Champions League.
Nice and easy for Wenger then.
In the league, Monaco, so Colombia striker Radamel Falcao has recovered from his thigh problem after a 3-week injury layoff. He should be back for the game against Valenciennes, who are 18th on the league. This should be a game that Monaco should win.
Yeah, for sure. And Falcao coming back is a big thing for them. So, you know, I think you're going to expect him to bag in the goals every game, especially in the French league.
Even with the injury and all, he still scored 9 goals from 14 league games.
Yeah, and it's more important that the service from the midfield is better. You know, I've watched some games and it hasn't been the best service for Falcao. So I really hope the service comes in for him, because he's a top striker. I just think he's playing in the wrong league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Chelsea are supposed to be after him, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But that would require a massive spending spree on the part of Abramovich, which he said he didn't want to do. But yeah, Falcao's wasted there. I mean, he's playing in front of 7,000 or 8,000 people, mm-hmm. and he's probably the best striker, straightforward striker in the world.
What about Zlatan and Cavani in PSG?
Yeah, well, they get more than that. I mean, PSG get half decent crowds. Yeah. Not great.
I think they said they're pretty much full. It's quite hard to get a ticket.
Last season,
Ever since the new owners took over, it's been just a nightmare to get a ticket.
PSG?
Yeah.
No, not like Barcelona, Real Madrid. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, they fill up the capacity. They get a good, I think, what's it, 40 to 50,000? Mm. Yeah, I think they pretty much fill that out.
Still 50,000 below Barcelona.
Yeah. They only can fit however many they allows, man.
Well, they're banging on the door outside, are they?
In the Serie A.
Sorry, can I just touch upon that? Yeah. PSG versus Lille, it's going to be a cracking match. First versus third. Best defense against best attack versus best defense. So it's going to be an interesting match. Mm.
In Serie A, the Inter Milan's Diego Milito has dismissed suggestions that he could be on the bench against Milan this weekend. He's been having a frustrating campaign as well.
Yeah, it's always an age comes into this where he has all these injuries, so it's harder to recover. You know, the process will be very slow. So
should he be in the Argentinian World Cup squad?
I think they've got better players than that.
I'll agree for the first time.
For the first time? You agreed with me the whole show.
Oh, that's a big shout.
Yeah. No, but it's going to be a cracking match, this Milan derby. It always is. It always guarantees goals. It's never nil-nil. Yeah. Talking about Milito, you know, a lot of limelight's been taken off him, especially as they signed Rodrigo Palacio, who's been... found his goal scoring touch. And
although Milan's not really in flying form,
they aren't. But the form book goes out of the window when it comes to these derbies, and you can never. It's very cliche to say, but you can never say.
Especially Balotelli will be in the limelight again.
Yeah, when is he ever?
What will he do this weekend, Bob? What will Balotelli
do?
Well,
he's been a lot quieter, hasn't he, since he's gone back there?
Yeah,
I think he hasn't had Mancini to deal with. I think that was
it
was a red rag to a bull, wasn't it? Somehow
it's either that or the Milan press are kind of.
Could be.
Less intrusive, yeah. I think. Yeah.
No darts yet.
I think I would say Inter for this, actually. Because Milan, I mean, they managed to squeak through in the Champions League, haven't they? I don't know how they did
it. I don't know.
They're not impressive.
They're not really at all. Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm with Inter on this.
In La Liga, Andreas Iniesta has agreed a new contract with Barcelona, which sees him commit to the club until June 2018. He might as well just, he's going to retire in Barcelona. He's not going
to
go anywhere.
He's not coming to United.
Sorry, no.
Greg.
That's all right. You know, I'm
bring out a tissue box.
Yeah.
A bucket as well.
Well, reports in Argentina claim that Tata Martino is ready to quit Barcelona at the end of the season. This is quite shocking, though.
I think a lot depends on had enough already.
Well, reports are saying that he's had enough. It's too much pressure on him.
Well, there's a lot of pressure. I think he would have known that before he took the job. You know, he's joining arguably the biggest club in the world. And there's a big tradition to win trophies there and titles and what have you not. But it all depends on how they do this season. If they manage to win the double, I don't think he'll pack his bags. Mm.
No, it is an incredibly pressurized job, isn't it? I mean, Pep Guardiola.
That's the reason
he lost his hair, didn't he? in about 3 years. He won 14 trophies, but he lost his hair. Was it a good trade-off?
Makes up for it. What about Real Madrid and Bale? There are reports also coming out that apparently the supporters are not really happy.
Really?
About the funds that were used.
The bank situation.
Everyone knows. I mean, Real Madrid, they get all the money. I mean, they're not really the richest club in the world or whatever, are they? They're financed by the city and then loan from the banks and this, that, the other. Mm. They're actually heavily in debt.
Yeah. The EC, European Commission, they're after them, aren't they? They've charged them and Barcelona. And a couple of other clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't fair. I mean, I know they're in different countries and you can't expect the tax rate to be the same in different countries. But when you're playing in the Champions League, I mean, you're playing in the same competition. And if one country's teams are not paying any tax. And everybody else is paying,
Monaco?
30 or 40%, whatever. I mean, it isn't fair, is it? Mm. And then you get Real Madrid buying Spurs' best player. And then partly because of he's gone, Spurs have to sack their manager. apparently that was a telling point in the argument when the European Commission discussed this.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
AVB in the thick of things.
AVB.
Yeah. Well, it's been all about AVB.
Just for you, Greg.
It could be after the Barcelona job.
We've got time for big shouts. Craig?
Mine is Crystal Palace to get something at the Newcastle match. I think they're going to win.
Bob?
Oh, Blackburn to beat Yeovil.
Do you want to watch that? Do you want to watch that together?
Side?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my usual West Ham to beat Manchester United.
Wow.
That is a big shout.
Wow. All right, that's all the time we have. We say thank you to Craig Marais.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
We say thank you to Bob Holmes.
Thanks and great weekend.
And we say thank you to Side Atney.
Thanks and a great weekend.
Thanks, guys, for copying me.
We got that clear.
I think they understand it's the weekend.
Thanks, and have a great weekend to all of you too. BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Robbie Fowler. Make sure you tune in to Thank Friday's Football. It's on all the time. It's a fantastic show. I'm listening.
Thank Friday, it's football on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.